And would you like to tell us a little bit about the workshops you're running in March in Southampton?
Yeah, I mean, what we'll be doing really is working with the kids and actually kind of trying to develop ideas around rhythm and different ways of looking at music and different perspectives and trying out different types of exercise which actually kind of work around words, music. So it's actually just, you know, even looking at song lyrics and even looking at how music works with different emotions and different ideas and feelings. But you know, also particularly looking at focusing on rhythm and how rhythm works. You know, so that's, I guess, the focus of it.
I see you're also giving a talk on the evening of the workshops, which is open to the public, but which children from the workshops will also be attending. How do you pick up, from your long and varied career, which particular projects you're going to be talking about there?
Well, I think what I want to do is try and represent the whole cross-section of different types of work that I do. So I'll be talking right across the board, from theatrical work that I've done to film, to dance projects with people like Akram Khan, and with film, you know, forthcoming projects and also projects I've done. Talk about video game work with orchestras, all of those different kinds of things, right?
Just to give us a taster, I know you're going to be talking about collaboration and why that's been particularly important to your career. Could you perhaps tell us about a current or recent collaborative musical project that you've particularly enjoyed working on?
I mean, I'd probably talk a little bit about working with Akram Khan, particularly on Confluence, and I might actually show some clips of that work as well and show how rhythm and having a musical sensibility help you to actually even act or perform with other artists in certain ways. And also, you know, London Understand, which is a very collaborative project which works with everyone from Paul McCartney to people like Natty and different types of artists. So I'll probably chat a bit about that and maybe show some of the Electric Proms as well, which we did the year before last, where we actually performed with a big orchestra, and that's a very collaborative festival. So I'll probably talk about that as well.
Excellent. Sounds like a really, really exciting evening. I mean, you've worked obviously with a whole host of artists, as you've mentioned, over your career, from Sting to the London Symphony Orchestra, who you're collaborating with currently. Education and outreach has really been something which has been important to you throughout your work. Could you give us a sense of why you think music is so important for young people today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, music is very important for young people because I think it's a great language, and it's a universal language, and it's a language through which people can convey all kinds of emotions and feelings and ideas without really feeling the kind of restrictions that they have in the outside world, where they, you know, perhaps are not as free to talk about their feelings or their thoughts with adults as they might do through music. So music is a universal language that cuts across age ranges, cuts across, you know, barriers of race or nationality and even religion. You know, it's something that everyone can feel because it's an emotional language. So I think from that point of view, it's very good for children or young people to have the opportunity to have a cathartic experience through music. And I think that's a fantastic aspect of music. Also, music is something you can put to just about any other art form. I mean, you can have music for film, you can have music for theatre, dance, you know, animation, whatever you want. You can actually work through music and be creative constantly. So it's a great medium for channeling all kinds of feelings and ideas.
In terms of your own memories of musical education, I mean, is there a teacher or someone who's been particularly important? Is there someone you could say who you've learnt a lot from musically, or a kind of early memory of a musical education that's been very important to you?
I mean, it's a strange thing with music education, because I think musical education isn't just confined to a school, you know, the forum or platform of a school kind of classroom or anything like that. I think education, music education, can be everywhere. So, you know, for instance, my greatest teacher, in a way, wasn't someone who intentionally taught me, but I learned a lot from, was Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, who's a Qawwali singer, whose work was right across the board. It would work on film, it would work on television, it would work on, you know, in rooms with other people. He worked with bands like Massive Attack, and, you know, he had a very great range. I mean, his voice was heard on a lot of different films, from Natural Born Killers to Last Temptation of Christ to, you know, a whole range of different movies, Bandit Queen, And, you know, that's why I think he had this universal appeal. And I think, you know, that's what I learned from is that you don't have to be restricted by your cultural background or your cultural heritage in terms of being accessible to everyone, because the emotional aspect of music is accessible to everyone.
I mean, in terms of thinking about that universality, with the workshops you're collaborating with the poet Maggie Harris, you mentioned you'll be drawing on the idea of rhythm and the relationship between words and music. Will there be any kinds of other themes kind of underpinning the day in terms of the workshops?
Yeah, I think some of the themes I might let them come from the kids themselves and also from Maggie, because I think Maggie being, you know, her focus being words, I think, you know, music is something that can actually adapt very much, you know, very quickly to different types of expression through words. So I think in a way I would actually just focus and follow on from what Maggie does with the kids as well. So I think at the moment I wouldn't want to be too prescriptive about saying, well, this would be the theme. I think it's just about really going with the flow. But of course, you know, there'll be musical themes which will be rhythmic and also cross-cultural and also, you know, I suppose focusing on issues of diversity and respect to other people.
The project's being run, I know, as part of the Creative Campus Initiative, which is a project linking universities around the southeast and their local communities as part of the Cultural Olympiad, really in the run-up to the Olympics in 2012. We tend to think of the Olympics, obviously the Winter Olympics going on now, in terms of sport. Could you say maybe something about what the Olympics means to you and why music might be an important part of the Olympics?
I think music is a good counterbalance to the competitive nature of sport, because music for me is always much more about collaboration between different people. So, you know, some of the best music is always made between several people playing together at once. And whereas in sports, it generally is about people competing with each other, although you have teams of people as well. But I think the essence isn't, or the focus in music isn't about winning or competing. It's actually about creativity. And I think that's a great antithesis to maybe the philosophy of sport. But at the same time, it's also, it's something that I was involved in, because a project that I created for the Cultural Olympiad was for something called Artists Taking the Lead, and it was shortlisted for receiving an award. So, you know, I've kind of had a connection with the Cultural Olympiad and actually, you know, being involved in it as well. So it's, I think it's a very important thing.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for talking to us, Nitin, and we'll look forward to seeing your talk on Tuesday, the 16th of March, at the Turner Sims.